This is a recording of a consultation with Dr. Jill Turner of the New Forest Parkinson Group. And in the room also is Helen, who is a fifth year student, medical student at Southampton University Hospitals. We met at Lymington Hospital, Lymington New Forest Hospital, on Friday, the 1st of February 2013.
So now tell me, where are we drug-wise?
Oh, I've stopped doing it.
Right, so you're on nofamidone?
No.
And you're on your alpha blocker still for your prostate?
Yes.
Right. And beta blocker?
No, cut that out.
Cut that out.
And that reduces the blood pressure by about 40 points.
Yes, you had said that.
So we stopped that.
Okay.
We went into the other. And we had this funny little set up. You fill these pills at times, it's 50 milligram pills.
Yes. If you're using criminodone, one only wants to use a quarter of a normal dose. So you have to basically cut the tablets into quarters. But they are pretty full to start with.
Yeah.
Anyway, now, would you like to see the pictures of your
gap? Yes.
Okay, so you'll remember that I said to you that what we're doing is we're radiolabeling the receptors of your dopamine receptors. And this is a picture of your scan.
Right.
Now, what you can see is that this side is normal.
Right.
That's largely normal. Sometimes you might see the orange extending a little bit further down into the tail. But it's quite definitely a comma shape there.
Yes, true.
Okay?
Yes.
This side is more a full stop shape.
Right.
It's lost its tail.
Yes.
Now, that is classically what you would see with Parkinson's.
Right.
And we also correlate it with your clinical presentation.
Yes.
And that's the right side of your brain.
Right.
And that would be in keeping with the new tremor being on the left-hand side. So I think I think this sort of fits with my clinical impression, which is that on a background of essential tremor, you've now developed a little bit of Parkinson's.
Okay.
Now, how do you feel about that?
Just light, isn't it?
Yeah. Sometimes people find it overwhelmingly frightening, really, because they know all the awful things about Parkinson's. I always think it's not such a bad diagnosis, really, because we can sometimes make things better.
No, I think, I'm 72, various lights are going to switch off as I get older. You just have to live with whatever happens.
Yeah. Well, that's true. You're not that old, though. I mean, we could be talking about you having this for another 20 years.
Of course, yes.
You'd give up on me, wouldn't
you? It will presumably, we suppose it might develop, or will
it? Yeah, it is a progressive disease. We can't cure it.
No.
There is no way of curing it, but we can certainly control it.
Yes,
okay. And we can control the symptoms.
Right.
Now, the classically, there's a triad of symptoms that occur in Parkinson's. The tremor is certainly the one that people notice. But often the tremor is obvious when you're sitting doing nothing, but it's probably not as troublesome as the other tremor you have, which stops you writing and holding cups. So tremor's one thing. The other thing is the slowness of movement. The sort of things just are a little bit more effort with your hand. You're not so dexterous as you were.
Right.
And thirdly, the third component of the triad is stiffness or rigidity.
Right.
So your arm is stiffer than it might be. And it's actually the stiffness and the slowness of movement that create most of the problems in Parkinson's, even though everyone thinks of it as being the tremor. And the reason that matters is because the drugs are very good at managing the stiffness and the slowness. They're not brilliant at getting rid of the tremor. Although it's surprising how many patients will come to me and say, actually, the shaking is much better now I'm on the drugs.
Right.
I still think it looks the same, but they're not in any way disabled by it because all the other things have improved.
Okay.
Now, so that's the first thing to say. The second thing to say is that there are lots and lots of other symptoms related to Parkinson's, which we went through last time, and I asked you all sorts of questions about it. For example, this slowness of movement can often mean that your bowel becomes very slow, and so constipation is a frequent problem in Parkinson's. You can sometimes get problems with difficulty swallowing because of sweat, not usually in the early stages, but this slight dribbling that you sometimes get is probably because your swallowing is not as active as it used to be. all those things are things that we want to keep under surveillance. There are lots more which we want to keep under surveillance, and that's why we like to bring you to Parkinson's Clinic regularly. Okay. Not because you have a serious illness that we have to keep an eye on, but because you have an illness that we want to try and help you manage. There are some legal things you need to know about Parkinson's. But once you've got a diagnosis of Parkinson's,
right,
you have to notify the DVO.
Right. Okay.
Now, you don't, they won't stop you driving. They'll send, if you put my name on your notification, they'll send me a letter, and which I complete, saying that as far as I'm concerned, you're perfectly safe to drive, you haven't got this and this.
Right.
And then they will, extend your driving license. Of course, it does mean that you also have to insure your insurance company, and I can't guarantee that they won't load your premium, because any excuse really.
I don't drive a lot. There's a problem.
No. Well, I mean, it's just something you need to know.
Yes.
I will
do it.
The whole essence of managing Parkinson's disease is about being as active as possible. Now,
right,
you're trying to be as active as possible. You're trying to manage your life normally. But the tenet is that you want to try and live. You want to live with Parkinson's rather than live through Parkinson's disease.
Right.
Okay. So the idea is that you carry on living your life normally, and we try and manage the Parkinson's as a minor irritation rather than a major cause.
Right.
The treatment is interesting. The fundamental problem in Parkinson's is that you don't have enough of a chemical messenger in your brain.
Right.
The jargon for that is a neurotransmitter.
Yeah.
You don't have enough of a chemical messenger in your brain called dopamine.
Uh-huh.
And so all the drugs do, and there are a whole lot of them, is to try and increase the delivery of dopamine in your brain. Now, there are different ways of doing it. We can either give you a drug which goes into your brain and pretends to be dopamine, or we can give you a drug which goes into your brain and is made into dopamine, or we can give you a drug that stops you mopping up your own dopamine quickly. There are all sorts of ways of doing this. And I guess the decision about what we use when depends on how things progress with you. 10 or 15 years ago, had we been having this discussion, I might be saying to you, actually, there's no point in starting treatment now. Might as well wait until it becomes a significant problem to you, and boy, see. We now think that that may not be the right thing to do, and we now think it may be right to start you on a very low dose of treatment, even though the disease is not really causing you significant problems, which, apart from the tremor and the mild stiffness, it evidently isn't, and we discussed how well you can climb up. I was telling Helen how well you get up off the floor and stuff now. But I think what we've got to do is make sure that we give you treatment which is the lowest possible need, that's the lowest possible effect.
Yeah.
So what we're trying to do is recognise that the disease will progress, and we want to use the big guns, the really, really powerful drugs, later on in the disease. No point giving them to you now.
Okay.
So my suggestion is that we start with a relatively mild drug, which is once daily tablet. And the way it works is it stops you mopping up your own dopamine, because we know from that scan that you've still got quite a lot on there. It's an MAO, a monoamine oxidase inhibitor, and it's a once daily tablet. It has relatively few side effects. I mean, it's probably the least side effect prone drug as I'm aware of. The only thing about it is that it doesn't have a devastating effect. So you're not going to come in, if I saw you next week, which I'm not going to, but if I saw you next week, you would not be going to go, oh God, that drug's marvellous.
Right.
It's a sort of subtle, insidious effect. But in 6 months' time, you might say to me, I'm not sure it's done any good.
Right.
And you might stop it, and then you'd notice that in fact it had been doing you some good.
Interesting with the pill then. When I pill it about a month, I thought, I don't think this is having much effect. When I stopped taking it,
you noticed the difference. What did you notice?
I think the tremor got worse.
The left side of one or both of them? The one that you know, when you go to carry things or
difficult to tell? Probably both, but I'm not all for sure.
No.
wouldn't be able to stand up and say that.
Was it, when you were taking it, you weren't sufficiently aware that it was doing you any good to want to carry on with it?
Well, I think it probably, I thought at the time it might be having some slight effect, but it didn't.
Well, I think that you may find the same thing with this drug. And the reason I'm choosing it is because there is some evidence that it may delay the progression of Parkinson's. It's very controversial evidence, and the evidence that's being produced is largely produced by the drug company itself, so you would have to take that with a pinch of salt. But I think it's a reasonable evidence. And if I had Parkinson's, that's what I'd take. So I think that's what we should start you with. Now, it's important to remember that although the drugs help, the other things that also help are keeping fit and active. Now, in an ideal world, I would want you to see a specialist physiotherapist. Well, but we don't have such a person on the NHS. If you're in a position to pay for a private physio, I could arrange for you to do so.
Right.
But I know it's not vital that you see one, it's just something that I would do.
Right, okay. What sort of things
would you use? Well, the idea is to teach you patterns of movement which keep your arm and leg, or arm and leg supple.
Right.
And keep them moving, really. Yeah. I mean, it's not that you need daily treatment for weeks. It's just about education. And
so we're not talking about persuading me to take walks every morning. I think this is about...
it's about exercise, yes. Well, I mean, I'm not going to tell you about taking walks at all. But to the extent, you do want to keep as active as you can.
Yeah, okay.
And if you find you can't do things because of Parkinson's, then I think we want to try and improve the Parkinson's so you can do things.
Right.
If you feel something.
Yes.
Because I don't think that... I mean, I don't want you to retreat into a shell and never get out of the house because you can't move your arm or leg.
No.
I know you're not like that at all, but what I'm trying to say is that, you know, you mustn't live within the confines of Parkinson's.
No.
We've got to try and manage the Parkinson's actively. Because it is very mild disease. I mean, it's so mild that I wasn't even sure that's what you had until we did the scan.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, and I normally would know someone had Parkinson's straight away.
Right.
So I think it is very mild.
Very mild. Well, thank you for catching me earlier.
Well, I don't know if I've done you any favours. we won't necessarily make any difference to it by catching it early. It's just that there is some evidence that it might.
Well, perhaps we can add to the evidence.
Let's
aim to do that.
So my suggestion is that I can't give you a prescription, but I will give you a note from the doctor. For the drug. The reason I can't give the prescription is because we don't keep it in a chemist here, in our pharmacy here. We just have the more standard treatments for Parkinson's. And then can I give you the card of the physiotherapist?
Yes, please.
Yeah, okay.
By the way, I was reminded to tell you about, you'll remember probably, Harriet Phipps.
Oh, I know Harriet very well, yes. Is she a friend of yours? Well, that's great. Well, then she Harriet runs an exercise group, actually, for people with Parkinson's she's doing Parkinson's sessions now, in East Boulder.
Right.
And, not in East Boulder, in Boulder. Village Hall, Pilly. And, but she might think that you were too good for her part. She might invite you along to help, mind you.
Wow.
She's very good. She's very knowledgeable about it and stuff. Yes.
Okay.
So that's the physiotherapist.
Right.
Yeah. Now it just so happens that she is the wife of the guy who reported on that. it's just by complete chance. Okay, so I'll just give you a quick note to take to Dr. Mayo.
Right.
About this. Now, do you have any other questions?
Yes, can I have a photocopy of the picture? Because I'd love to show my daughter. Is that possible? Or?
Yes, can we go to that? Actually, that would be cool. Do you know where to go?
No, I can ask
you. Yeah, do you know Julie? My secretary upstairs in the corner.
Oh, there's the medical secretary, yeah.
Yes, just go up there and ask them to do it. That's really kind, Alice. Thank you. In fact, why don't you ask for a photocopy of the over the court?
Anything else?
Yeah, that's cool.
Thank you very much. Thank you. because on the original letter which you sent, the thing was, you put at the bottom of the thing about Sheena Morgan, the panic nurse.
Yeah.
And I asked Harriet, I said, what's this all about? And so she rather gave me the impression that she would be involved in regulating the dosage or how to go and see her from time to time. Tell me how it works.
Well, basically, you're a patient in the Parkinson's service, and we see you from time to time to see how things are going. But because we've got about 500 or 600 people with Parkinson's in the New Forest, and we aren't able to see you. I mean, ideally, I'd see you every 6 months, we're just not going to see you that often. So, and what happens is that we keep you on the books, and if you're in trouble, or if you want to know something, then you can phone Sheena. She will either arrange to see you in one of her clinics, or she will ring you and speak to you on the phone, or she'll come and see you at home. And she can give you interim advice, and she acts like my eyes and ears, really. So that she's extremely competent, and if she sees something, she can make decisions about changing the medication. I want you to get, I don't want you to get the impression that we're opposition. She's very much part of the team, so she and I work together.
Cool.
And I'm just about to give you a folder of information about Parkinson's, which is published by the Parkinson's UK Society, which is a really good thing. I don't know if you're into the website.
Yeah, I've got the, I haven't got in this questionnaire that put up.
Okay.
It's ticked and popped.
Right. They're very good. And it's her card is in there, so it'll hopefully it's in there. So you'll have her phone number.
I've got it.
Have you already?
Yes, quite
a hospital. No, she's based at the clinic. Yes, so she's doing the job that Harriet used to do, and I'm sure Harriet explained to you. Right, so that's the note for Leslie Mayo. Okay, and then if you come with me, I will give you the pack of information about Parkinson's. Now, is there anything else you want to ask? Because we won't come back in the room. Okay. I will see you again, if that's all right, about 6 months' time. I'll see you in 6 months, but do ring if you're in trouble in the meanwhile. You know we'll ring you back, and you can ring Sheena. Sheena won't necessarily, she might make contact with you, but she won't necessarily arrange to see you.
I'll give her a call and just establish
contact.